This is one of those texts I think you guys like to approach backwards. Because the first thing I think that Jesus wants us to see is the last thing that we actually see, if we see it at all. Specifically, what I'm talking about are parables. And you guys can really mangle these things. And by that, I mean you moralize them. You turn them into object lessons. You make them about you. But what have I said before? The scriptures are not about you. The scriptures are for you. They are about Christ for you. And so I'll get you once again, or so I'll tell you once again, look closely at what is being compared. Because I think sometimes in parables you get so bogged down in the details that you miss the point. I think, for example, you can approach today's lesson and come away with the idea that if you forgive others, God will forgive you. Or that if you're not merciful to someone else, God's not going to be merciful to you. But that approach would assume that the point of comparison is that the kingdom of heaven is like a servant. Like I said, it's backwards. In our text, note, the kingdom of heaven is like a king. It's the king and his behavior. That's the focal point to the parable. And again, when we're talking about the kingdom of heaven versus the kingdom of earth, things are going to be weird. They are going to be different than what we're accustomed to. We're told that a king is settling his accounts with his slaves. And we have this first man that's brought up before the king, and he owes this incredible amount of money. The text before us says 10,000 talents. That's not literally what it says. It literally says a myriad of talents. In other words, countless. This would be like you having to single-handedly pay the $20 trillion of debt our country's in. That's impossible. But as staggering an amount as this debt is, what sticks out to me is what kind of an idiotic king would do something like that? How could he loan that much money to someone? To give that unbelievable amount of money to someone who could never, ever pay it back? This king is either very foolish or he's generous to a fault. Then we're told that the king orders that the slave, his wife, and his children, and all he has be sold and a payment made. Of course, everything that this guy has, even if you sell it, it's not going to make a dent in this debt. And so is the king here really trying to cut his losses and get what he can? Or is something else at work here? We see that the slave responds by falling down and worshiping the king and asking for the king's patience and that he will repay everything. Yeah, right. But then the king does something unexpected. It says he released, or actually it's more specifically, he forgave the slave and he forgave the debt. Man, in the business world, this king would certainly seem to be a brick shy of a load. I think he's a French fry short of a Happy Meal. His elevator doesn't go all the way up. He's about as sharp as a marble. Because who in their right mind would forgive such a loan? A generous, compassionate, long-suffering king would. That's who. And you who have the Holy Spirit within you to give you understanding, realize who this crazy king is. He's none other than Christ himself. The incredible debt of sin we owe is more than we can ever pay ourselves. He forgives us our trespasses or our debts. He takes the loss upon himself. He who knew no sin became sin for us. He humbles himself and becomes a slave, a servant, as we are. And he pays the debt owed to himself by writing it off. He not only wipes the bookkeeping records clean, he throws the whole book out the window. I mean, the builders of the VA hospital in Aurora could only hope for such a scheme. But such is the heavenly economy. This slave who was indebted to the king has just been set free. No thing and no one has anything on him. He's free. And one would expect him to be skipping down the castle halls, feeling a burden has been lifted, sharing this good news with anybody that he could find, and have eternal gratitude to this king. But of course, the parable doesn't stop with that. The free man, who one would think would share that freedom with others, instead seeks to enslave. He works it to have someone who owes him a pittance, in comparison to his debt, to have this guy thrown into jail. Again, if this was one of those silent, Dastardly Dan movies, this is where you all would go, boo! Now, why would this forgiven slave behave like this? Having been relieved of such an enormous debt, you would think that he would have a more generous, a more celebratory attitude. But he doesn't. He's unmerciful and harsh. How can that be? Well, I think his actions betray his heart. The slave is unforgiving because he really thinks the king is unforgiving. He doesn't really believe that the king will be merciful to him, because any day now the king's going to change his mind and want everything paid back. The slave still thinks in terms of the kingdom of earth, of the law. For him, grace doesn't compute. And wouldn't you know it, there's some brothers who witnessed this whole thing. And so they run off and tattle to the king. And then we're told that the king was angry with the servant for what he had done to his fellow servant. And he gave him over to literally the tormentors until he could pay back everything. Now, before you start shouting at me, "See, Pastor, I told you, we have to forgive others so God can forgive us." My response, of course, is repent. Repent because you've got it backwards. The king forgave the servant first. He took action first in releasing this servant. And I say again that the servant, by his actions, did not believe that the king was merciful. And you know what? The king dealt with the servant exactly how the servant wanted to be dealt with, according to the law, harshly. The servant wanted to live by the law and refused to believe that the accounting books had been thrown out the window. This servant, channeling Frank Sinatra, did it his way, and the king gave him exactly what he wanted. And Jesus concludes this parable with a shot at the hearers, at you. "So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." In other words, he'll give you exactly what you want: judgment by the law. But of course, the story doesn't have to stop there. Not for the servant, not for you. The servant and you can leave the torments of the law and trust that the debt has been forgiven. Believe in the mercy of King Jesus. Christ has purchased and won you with his holy, innocent blood, that you may be his own and live under him freely in his kingdom. Bathe in the blood of your Savior, who sacrificed himself for you. He was given the cup of wrath and torment, and he drank every bit of it. And now, in turn, he gives you a cup of blessing, the cup of freedom, the cup that he fills to overflowing. Revel and rejoice in your freedom and in the king's generosity. And see each other as fellow slaves of Christ who have been forgiven, and be forgiving of others. Again, not to impress God, the king, or to gain forgiveness with him, but because you believe that he is merciful and you are generous with that mercy that you have received. Folks, leave your debts here. They're no longer yours. Leave the trespasses or debts committed against you here as well, because they ain't yours either. For the truth has set you free, and you are free indeed, because you have been forgiven all of your debts in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.